Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville. Dr. Carl Armstead, Sr., pastor. Join our pastor as he preaches and teaches the Word of God.
The 26th chapter of the book of Acts. 26th chapter of the book of Acts. You know, sometime talking to people, I see how Jesus felt when a lot of time people were right at the door of salvation, but they gave up and walked away.
Yes, sir.
Some because they think they know and feel that they know, and yet they don't know. In this 26th chapter of Acts, beginning at verse number 24, with our emphasis on verse number 28, where we draw our subject, we read these words, beginning at verse 24. It says, "Now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, you're beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad.' But he said, 'I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escaped his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do believe.' And then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You almost persuaded me to become a Christian.'"
Amen.
I would just stop right there. Now I'm going to read verse 29. "And he said, 'I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains.' When he had said these things, the king stood up, as well as the governor and Bernice and those who sat with them. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." You may be seated. God our Father, we thank you now for this privilege and for this opportunity. We ask now that you direct our minds, our hearts, that we might be able to preach your word. Grant us a fresh anointing, and in that anointing grant us preaching power. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen.
Amen.
"Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You almost persuaded me to become a Christian.'" And for a little while this morning, I just want to slide one word out, and I want to talk about almost. Almost. Let me begin by saying, in the world, we have at least two kinds of people, and they are the almost Christians and the altogether Christians. But I want to focus on the almost Christians. Now, an almost Christian is one who hears and understands the truth of God's word and the gospel, but they refuse to do anything about it, because only his or her intellect has been instructed, as well as their emotions have been touched, but their will is unyielding. And so the context of this message reveals the various attitudes people hold concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, in this passage, three different men are mentioned. For there's Festus, Paul, and King Agrippa. And each of these men represent a different attitude toward Jesus. Now, Festus represents those who hate the Lord because he was antagonistic toward the gospel. He told Paul, according to verse 24, that he was mad because of his much learning. But no, they said the same thing about Jesus when he was walking this earth doing all manner of good. But we know in John 10 and 20, after Jesus had healed a blind man, and he declared that he was the good shepherd and the door by which men must enter into the kingdom, many of the Jews and religious leaders of that day said, according to John 10, 20, that this man has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? But you know, it's ironic that no one ever says that about folk who go all out for money, pleasure, and power. But they were saying about those who go all out for the Lord. Then there's Paul. Now, Paul represents those who honor the Lord because he was sold out and he was living every minute of his life, amen, for Christ. And that's what he was talking about in Philippians 1 and 21 when he said, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." In other words, Paul was an altogether Christian. He was not an almost Christian, in spite of the fact that he once fought against the church. But then finally we come to our main character, King Agrippa. Now he represents those who are holding out on the Lord. In other words, people like Agrippa are right at the verge of coming to Jesus, but for some reason they're holding out. He was close, but as they say, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. Because an all Lord, most Christian is still not saved. And my brothers and sisters, the Bible is filled with stories of people who are almost where they needed to be. And so we see in verse 28 of the text, almost is where we find King Agrippa. He is almost a Christian, but he's still lost. He is almost a believer, but he's still an unbeliever. He's close, but he's not there yet. My brothers and sisters, I'm afraid that there are many people, probably some in this room and others listening by way of radio today, who are in the same place that King Agrippa was. You're close to coming to Jesus, but you're not there yet. My brothers and sisters, I need to tell us that I can think of no greater tragedy in life than for a person to be blessed to hear the gospel and for them to feel the tug of the Holy Spirit, for them to know the need to be saved, but then they walk away and continue on their way to hell and eternal damnation. Oh, what a tragedy that is. But sad to say, this is a tragedy that has been repeated far too often. And that's why I want to preach this morning from the subject almost. Because I want you to see that being almost is not good enough. I want you to show you that you can get beyond almost saved and come to the place where you can be altogether saved. My brothers and sisters, this passage contains a message that we all need to hear. So let's consider what it means to be almost saved. Notice, if you will, three things that brought Agrippa to the place of almost. Well, first of all, we see almost and the truth. Now, this is seen first in the testimony of the scriptures, according to 26 and 27. Notice, if you will, that Paul reminds Agrippa of the word of God. He tells the king that he both knows these things and believes these things. What things? He's talking about the things contained in the law and the prophets. In other words, Paul is using the Bible as a tool to bring Agrippa to faith in Christ. And my brothers and sisters, I need to tell us that the Bible is designed to reveal the glory of God and the sinfulness of man. It shows man what he is and his need for salvation. Because my brothers and sisters, you need to understand that the Bible is a mirror and it shines its light on man's sins. For the Bible says, according to James 1:23-24, for if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself and walk away, and then you forget how you look. In other words, it's important to listen to what the word of God says, but it's even more important to obey what it says. We know the Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews 4:12 that the Bible is a two-edged sword. It cuts to the very heart of man. In other words, the word of God is not simply a collection of words from God, a vehicle for communicating ideas. It's a living, life-changing, and it is dynamic as it works in us. It penetrates the core of our moral and spiritual life. It discerns what is within us, both good and evil, which means that the demands of God's word require a decision. And so the first thing that brought King Agrippa to the almost position was the truth of God's word. Now the second thing that brought King Agrippa in the almost position towards salvation was the testimony of a saint. Because not only did Agrippa have the testimony of the scriptures, he also had the testimony of a saint of God. And my brothers and sisters, this whole chapter, verse 2 through 24, is devoted to Paul telling Agrippa how he was saved. Picture in your mind, here Paul is standing before the king, bound up in chains, with scars of his love for Jesus all over his body. But he tells Agrippa that he's happy and that his whole life has been changed. Oh, my brothers and sisters, this was a powerful witness, and it brought Agrippa to the place of almost believing. And I believe that this room is filled with such testimonies this morning, and I don't think they ought to be taken lightly, because there perhaps are some folk who used to be drunkards and dope addicts, and there are folk who used to live promiscuous lives without repentance. There are folk who perhaps used to hate the church. Well, you wonder what happened to them. I tell you what happened to them. They have been changed. They have been changed by the power of God. For the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. My brothers and sisters, if you're lost or if you're not saved today, I need to tell you that what Jesus has done for them, he's able to do the same thing for you. Bottom line, he can do the same thing in your life, and he can save you today. For the Bible says in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. But also there is the testimony of the Savior. Paul tells Agrippa that the things he's talking about were not done in a corner, nor were they done in secret. In other words, Paul is telling Agrippa, you know who Jesus is, and you know what he did. Everyone knows that Jesus died on the cross, and that he rose again from the dead. Here Paul takes Agrippa to Calvary and reminds him of the price that Jesus paid for sin. This reminder almost brought Agrippa to Jesus. My brothers and sisters, there's something powerful about the cross the Savior. So I want you to just come go with me in your mind for a minute, and let's take a little walk over to Calvary. I want you to see the crowd standing there looking at the Savior, and I want you to hear the taunts and curses, and even the soldiers as they mocked him. Listen, if you will, at the voices gathered around Calvary. They said, look at him up there hanging on the cross. He saved others. Why can't he save himself? The soldiers mocked him, saying, you say you're king of the Jews, then why don't you come down and save yourself? Even one of the condemned criminals that was condemned with him, he blasphemed and said, if you are the Christ, why don't you save yourself and us? Look at him, if you will. Can